Public News Service Daily Newscast for October the 15th, 2020. I'm Mike Clifford. Faith leaders from Pennsylvania and around the nation raising their voices to support candidates in this year's election who believe in the values of love, justice, and inclusion.
They call themselves the New Moral Majority and come from churches of many denominations and from across the country. According to Bishop Dwayne Royster, a native of Philadelphia and national political director of the group Faith in Action, their goal is to deliver a message that offers a different vision of what America and the world could be.
Really leaning in on the side of compassion, the side of partnership with those that have been marginalized and hurting the deepest, and wanting to see every person in this nation be able to thrive.
The New Moral Majority is releasing a video called A Sermon to Heal America. Royster says it asks voters to see going to the polls as a sacred act. I'm Andrea Sears reporting.
And it was a boiling hot topic. If you watch Fox News, Facebook and Twitter took action Wednesday to limit the distribution of a New York Post story making unconfirmed claims about Democratic presidential nominee Joe Biden leading President Trump's campaign and allies to charge the companies with censorship. That's how our friends at NPR size up the story. They report both social media companies said the moves were aimed at slowing the spread of potentially false information. For its part, the Post story, published Wednesday, did cite emails purportedly sent by Biden's son Hunter that the news outlet says it got from Trump's private lawyer, Rudy Giuliani, and former Trump advisor Steve Bannon. A new report puts some weight behind arguments that young adults should not be prosecuted in adult court in Illinois.
The findings from the Juvenile Law Center say youth incarceration rates have fallen in recent years as officials recognize the developmental differences between adolescents and adults. But incarceration rates haven't declined among young adults ages 18 to 24. Report co-author Katrina Goodjoint explains members of this age group are treated legally as adults, despite sharing some adolescent behaviors.
They have poor decision-making, they're impulsive, they're susceptible to peer pressure, and they're engaging in risky behavior. So when we talk about raising the age, we talk about better ways to be more forgiving and supportive of emerging adults rather than punitive.
The report calls for raising the age above 18 for juvenile court. In Illinois, emerging adults are overrepresented in the justice system, accounting for 15% of the adult population. They also account for 33% of all adult arrests, despite a 47% decrease in the number of arrests for this age group in the past decade. Mary Sherman reporting.
This is PNS. Maine will be the first state to use ranked choice voting in November, and it could decide the Senate election. Laura Raspo-Tellum helps us with some of the math.
As every Mainer is aware, Republican Senator Susan Collins is in a tight race against Democrat Sarah Gideon. But two independent candidates might peel off several percentage points of the vote, Libertarian-leaning Max Lynn and Green-leaning Lisa Savage. Neither Collins nor Gideon is expected to win more than 50% of the vote. If this happens, the candidate with the fewest votes gets eliminated. Then, if a voter's first choice is removed, their second choice goes to the remaining candidates until someone has 50%. Colby College government professor Dan Shea says their recent poll had surprising insights.
It's not quite as simple as Lynn's second choices would go to Collins and Savage's second choices would go to Gideon. I likely think that the Savage second choice would more likely go to Gideon.
8% of respondents supported Lynn or Savage in the Colby poll, although more recent polls show each candidate getting less support by several percentage points.
Animals are on the move to escape rising temperatures and increased floods and drought, but some could find refuge in North Carolina's Sandhills and Southern Blue Ridge. That's according to a new map developed by scientists at the Nature Conservancy.
The map pinpoints biodiverse hotspots that are likely to be buffered from dramatic climate changes. Scientist at the Nature Conservancy in North Carolina, Jeffrey Marcus, says as temperatures warm, critters that need colder climates will migrate north to survive. He says it's critical that they're able to move across landscapes.
We can't think about just one small place. You can't have a protected park, think that because you've protected that park that everything is fine. We need to be thinking about landscapes and how we can keep whole natural and functioning landscapes intact.
He adds each decade, some species are moving an average of 11 miles north and 36 feet higher in elevation in search of more hospitable places to live. I'm Nadia Ramlagan.
Finally, we're not sure if there are going to be hats and balloons, but Eric Tegenhoff tells us today is the 72nd annual International Credit Union Day.
There are more than 85,000 credit unions on six continents. Steve Stapp, member of the World Council of Credit Unions Board of Directors, says the organizations go to great lengths to serve communities in many parts of the world.
We have credit unions that are very progressive in what they're doing and well-established and mainstream financial institutions, and we have others that are operating in third world countries, and perhaps a credit union can even operate out of a shoebox sometimes.
In case you're wondering, the theme for this year's International Credit Union Day is Inspiring Hope for a Global Community. This is Mike Clifford for Public News Service. We are member and listener supported, heard on radio stations big and small, and online at publicnewsservice.org.